in the middle. She wants to be in the middle. She wants to be in the middle of us.
Come take your picture with us both. Where you stand, nobody knows. Jake and Amir, if I were you, with Tommy Mids, Ben Schwartz and Greer.
She wants to be in the middle. She wants to be in the middle of us. She wants to be in the middle. She wants to be in the middle of us. She wants to be in the middle.
That's you.
That was amazing.
You sang the chorus.
That was unbelievable. Who is responsible for that?
Thomas Middleditch.
No, who made it? That would be amazing if it was Thomas.
Thomas spent 12 hours on a punk pop punk remix of your song. Alex Sexton.
Alex Sexton, that was amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
I'm just reading this email. Works as my sister-in-law.
He works with your sister-in-law?
Yeah.
Is that why you got
Stripe?
The thing?
Yeah.
Red Stripe? Your sister works at Red Stripe?
No, she works at Stripe.com.
What's Stripe.com?
It's like a money transferring system. So if you wanted to set up an online store, you can just use Stripe and then they can do
the
transaction.
Unless they pay to advertise with us.
Honestly.
Unless they paid to advertise with us.
Did they pay? Did Stripe pay?
Yeah, they did.
Oh, okay. Then finish up.
Actually,
she wants to be in the middle.
Yeah. Did you remember singing that song in an old episode?
Oh, you mean when it was happening and I said, is that me?
Yeah.
I remember singing it, yeah. I remember one time after a show, Middleditch was like, everybody sing that song to me, man. I was like, oh, what song? He's like, are you kidding? I was like, no. He's like, you know, she wants to be in the middle. I was like, oh, my God. It made me laugh so hard.
Because for you, it's a small part of your life. But
no,
if you come and talk about it on the show.
I remember, because then the second time we did it, it stuck with me for a very long time. And also people would come up and sing it. I remember when Middleditch and I, we do a show called Middleditch and Schwartz.
What is that based on?
It's based on Thomas Middleditch and Ben Schwartz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's all made up song, long form improv. And then afterwards, you know, we'll take pictures with whoever needs it, whoever wants to take pictures.
Whoever needs it.
Whoever really needs it the most.
Just one person.
Around the room and see who really needs a hug. And anytime after the Middleditch and Schwartz show, I'll say at least one person, you know, like, oh, where do you want to stand? And she's like, I want to be in the middle.
And then you're like, that doesn't, I don't know.
I was
that
like, huh?
Rings no bells.
No. The second time we sang that on this podcast, it rang all the bells.
Ben Schwartz, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me. Name?
What?
What's your name?
Holy shit, dude. He doesn't know your name.
What is his name?
I don't even know,
come
man.
Come on, Marty. What's his name?
Oh, hey, come on. That's enough. It's fun when we make fun of him.
For whatever reason,
did
it's
it?
Not good to me.
By the way, we have a guitar, we have Jake, and we have you and I. And
holy
we didn't
shit.
Do, we didn't do a beginning or end theme song.
We'll do an end one.
All right.
Thank God.
Jake is great at guitar, and Amir is great at watching Jake strum those strings.
You're better at guitar than I am, and you're a better singer.
Me? I'm absolutely not better at guitar. How dare you try
you
to downplay
how
good
Blackbird.
You are. So can you. You can play Blackbird behind your back.
Bird.
Blackbird. Yeah.
Sing in the
he's
dead.
Oh no!
Of night,
yeah.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Have you ever tried to sing one song's melody with the other song's
lyrics?
Can
you give me an example, please? Give me something to the tune of "She Wants to Be in the Middle."
It's hard. Okay. What's a oh She wants to be in the middle with you.
Oh,
she
I
wants
got
to
my
be.
Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was good.
Why is that the song that you chose?
That was insane, by the way.
You got it.
It's true.
I got, what is it? I got my mind
set on you.
I got my mind
set on you.
Couldn't think of any lyrics. I couldn't know the lyrics. So I just sing any old lyrics. But just six words, child. I'm gonna sing them over and over and over and over. And over and over and over.
To do it.
That's
to
right.
Do it,
to do it. 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 Right, child. Take it, Amir.
This is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the internet hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
I'm Ben. And together we're antacid. A-N-T apostrophe.
No, why did you say hyphen. Antacid? I can't for the life of me understand why you did that.
I did. I wonder if I'm allowed to talk about this. I think I am. Yesterday I did the first ever test show for the Late Late Show with James Corden.
Okay.
So I was a guest. The guest. There's the two guests. And they're... Oh, when does this come out?
Sometime in March.
Nah, not mine. I can't tell. Because just in case he uses bits that he used in the test show, I don't want to call him out.
Oh, gotcha.
But I guess I'll tell you guys the story later. There was a moment in it where someone asked me a question as a joke. It was very funny where they go, like, I want to ask you a question. Is in 1492 Mesopotamia, did you end a very specific history question?
Uh-huh.
And it really made me laugh. And then I answered it for 2.5 minutes straight on this test show.
Gibberish.
And committed so hard. My hope is that if you don't know much about history, you would think that everything I said was true.
Right.
But it wasn't. But I like committed so hard and took up way too much time knowing it was a test show. It was so fun.
Was it 1492 or Mesopotamia? Because those two things seem like they're tens of thousands of years apart.
Oh, they probably are. Mesopotamia, I think, was a piece of it. But I remember 1492 being in there also. I wonder what happened.
You just said everything you've ever learned in history.
I went crazy.
1492 and the War of 1812, yeah. Of course.
And the Gilded Era.
Jakey, what are your likes and dislikes? Like, what's your biggest like? Or what's your biggest dislike? When you meet someone, if they do this, like one of my friends hates when you snap gum. Like, what's yours?
When I meet somebody?
Not meet somebody. What's a thing that'll be an immediate turnoff, guy or girl for you? Personality trait.
I can tell when people don't listen. Like, if they're looking at their phone, that would be like a huge turnoff. Just for anybody in general. People who like aren't thoughtful.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
What about messiness?
Messy? Well, not when I meet...
Are you messy? You're not messy, are you?
No, I'm very clean. But I wouldn't like reject somebody as a friend if they're messy.
But as a mate.
Oh, like, but he's a guy or girl.
As a guy or girl, like a friend. Like, oh God, this is so annoying to me.
And also, like, I could handle a messy mate.
That's so funny. You sound like you're from Australia. But my question is as follows.
You already asked me one question.
Yeah, but I have a follow-up. Is that fine? Yeah. Is it a two-parter?
Of course.
Is there somebody in your life, don't name names, obviously. Obviously, it's probably Amir, but that every time you hang out with them, you're like, why do I hang out with this guy? Like, you'll kind of be like, give him or her another chance, and then you hang out, and you're like, oh, this is so annoying to me. Why do I keep doing that?
Like somebody that you shouldn't be hanging out with because you don't like them.
Not like a bad person.
This is like
they
a loaded question. This is just how you feel about both of us right now.
But they show up at your house with like microphones and you have no real choice.
It's like they expect too much of you.
We are at my house, or my apartment rather, right now, and I'm doing my laundry. So in approximately 25 minutes, you're going to hear a loud beep, and that means my dryer is done, and I can unload it. And the real question is, will I go unload it while we're doing this podcast?
Should, otherwise, the clothes will get wrinkly.
Yo, no, thank you. Give me another Weird Al song.
I don't have enough dishes.
That's not a Weird Al song.
Yes, it is. This song is just 6 words long. Is Weird Al.
Wait, to the tune of I Got My Mind Set on You?
Yes, that's it. Are you kidding me?
No, I didn't know that.
Oh, my God. One of my favorites.
How does it go?
I go, this song, I'm not doing it. Are you doing a bit or no?
I'm not. I really
it starts
not know
with,
that.
This song is just 6 words long. This song is just 6 words long.
Wait, that's
this song is just 6. Maybe is not considered a word. The song just couldn't think of any lyrics.
I did not know that.
No, I didn't write no lyrics. You knew it. You sang it. So I just
knew the tune of the song. I didn't know that.
But just 6. Oh my God. Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how many people are weird. We talked about this before.
The song is 6 words long.
Yeah. Someone sing it to Amir. His email address is
weirdal@gmail.org. I'm going to read one question and see where that takes us.
Can I ask a question before we do that?
Sure.
Do you guys think... How does it end with wireless internet?
What do you mean?
Like, isn't there always going to be a faster speed? When are we ever going to hit that faster speed?
Terminal velocity?
Oh, wow. That's a good name for a movie.
it's already a movie.
Oh. What about The Rock?
That's a wrestler.
Movie and a guy.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, ask your question.
All right. We need a fake guy's name.
Oh, can I ask a quick question before you guys ask it?
No.
When you guys do backpacks, you go two arms or one?
Two.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's bad for your back to do one.
That's what I thought. In high school, would you do two or one?
I was never that cool, so I would probably still do two.
Two.
It was cool to do two when I was in high school.
Oh, not for me. It was one, but it hurt my back. You ever use the buckle in between?
like some sort
you
of.
Actually, you had like an REI, like weekend pack with like.
No,
the
now
the
I had a roller,
the metal exoskeleton.
Yeah, I was like, basically, my yearbook photo is the poster for Wild with Reese Witherspoon.
You look like
got my man. Yeah. Do you want it to be similar to a real person's name, or do you want it to be really crazy?
I think I want it to be really crazy.
Really crazy. All right, I'm going to start with a real person's name. Carl Salabach. S-A-L-A-B-A-T-C-H. And Carl is spelt T-C-K.
Why?
A-R-L-E-E.
T-C-K.
It's Carly Salabach.
No, from his country, Carl. It's Carl Salabach.
Right. Hey, guys. So I recently met a girl on Tinder.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Oh, wow. We almost got there.
When you play your acoustic guitar, Jakey, do you do steel strings or nylon?
Steel strings.
Now, why do I prefer nylon? Because it doesn't hurt my fingers?
It doesn't hurt your fingers as much, yeah.
So I'm just a pussy.
No. Well, I mean, like, you got... You know, there's also... That has a wider neck.
Thank you, buddy. Thanks. And then my other question is, what's your go-to song? You know, like how when I pick up the guitar, there's a song that I always play first?
Yeah.
What's the one that you pick up and play first?
I don't think I ever play a song first, but
God,
I always...
Oh, God, you're so pretentious.
I just... Well, I always play the same two chords first.
CD? CG?
GC.
GC. Well, I said the right ones.
No, you didn't. You said...
CG, as in.
You said D.
And let's hit a commercial.
Sure. This episode is brought to you by... No, all right.
Stamps.org.
Carl Salabach writes, so I recently met this girl on Tinder and I've messaged her quite a while. We seem like a perfect match. I can't find any cons. I want to take her out on a date ASAP. Not meeting this girl yet is killing me. However, she is on spring break right now and visiting home, which is still local and near where I live. But I am 21 years old and I feel like I'm past the phase of my life where I have to pick girls up from their parents' place, meet the dad, and promise to have the lady back home by 10. I would much rather pick her up from her apartment. Is it wrong for me not to want to go to her parents' house? Am I allowed to ask to pick her up at her apartment instead? Or should I say nothing and just wait until spring break is over and she goes back to school? I appreciate all the advice. Thanks, guys.
Okay, well, first of all, you don't even know if she wants to go out with you, right?
Yeah, but what if she does? Well, okay, things are going
I would
well.
Say ask.
Ask what?
Mm-hmm. Ask. I would say go. Like, by the way, you don't have to go inside and say hello to the parents and everything.
You could just honk?
Well, I mean, you don't have to honk. I think this is 2015.
Like, it's so neurotic. I don't.
You text.
Like, this dude's like inventing problems 6 steps away from where
yes.
he is right now.
By the way, I'm sure all three, maybe not Jakey, but I'm sure Amir and I have gone through that in our heads many times.
Like figuring out.
Or
for
just
sure
like thinking like,
has.
Oh God, you know what? I probably shouldn't even do it because in
She's
2 years we're going to break up.
Like, that is what happens. It's like a disease. You just get further and further.
Yeah, spiraling. I do that all the time.
And that's why I just
ask the girl out. What I've learned is ask if you mesh, ask the girl out and let her, by the way, maybe she's on spring break, by the way. Maybe now's not the time to go out with her. Maybe you wait for her to get back, but still be like, you know, I can't wait to take you out. I want to take you out.
One step at a time. I want to take you out. Then she says yes. There's a good chance she doesn't want you to meet her dad either.
I know that'd be so weird. I agree.
Do you want to go out? Yeah. Let's meet somewhere.
But first of all, good for you for asking the question. Let's stop just shitting
on
this
guy. He didn't ask
the
question yet.
Oh, what do you mean? That's not the question? No.
Good for you to
submit to jakeandamir.org.
Good for you for writing the email to us.
There you go. Yeah. Right? And that your instinct is correct, that you should ask her out. You are overthinking a little bit. I can't imagine a world where, although 21 is so young, I can't imagine a world where she's like, well, come inside and meet my folks.
Yeah.
Like, that would be such a big jump. For me, at least, I'd be like, oh, that's like date number.
Well, here's a question. What if you're like, all right, let's go on a date. She's like, great, can you come pick me up? I'm staying at my parents' place on 155 Sunset Boulevard.
Right, and then you
I don't know
you
why
do?
You told everybody your real address, but keep going.
You just roll up and honk the horn.
Is that what you would do?
Yeah.
No, of course not.
No, I don't think you... No, stop.
Yeah,
I don't think you have to go and... You can text that you're outside.
I would say, like, I would text, like, on my way, I'll be there in 10.
Uh-huh.
And then you get there, and either she's... And I would sit in the
you
car
wanna
for
write
1 second.
You wouldn't write here outside? You wouldn't write here outside?
I don't think I would.
You would knock on the door.
Yeah.
First of all, that exact address on Sunset is too much traffic. You're not going to find parking. You know that for a fact.
Well, so definitely not between 4 and 5, 4 and 7 p.m.
Yeah, you can't
you're
make a left.
To park at a metered spot at that point.
That's
so
what
are
I'm
you
saying.
Do?
So am I antiquated? No, I guess it's the opposite. Am I doing something wrong? If I pick up a girl, I usually just text when I'm outside. Unless I'm thinking I'm going to come inside beforehand.
You never ring the doorbell?
I mean, I
do you get out. So if you write here, do you at least?
No, because
get
also
out of the
I feel like that rush. I feel like that rush. Yes, but I feel like that rushes the person like ding 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 dong ding dong ding dong ding dong ding dong ding. You know what I mean?
I think as long as
I'd rather someone text me than fucking we're allowed to curse. I'm sorry. Text me than knock on my, ring my doorbell. 100% for me at least, because I was like, because then I could respond, hey, be there in a minute. As opposed to there, what happens if she's not ready? Which many times, you know, everybody's busy. Maybe they aren't ready, and then she's like has to like put on jeans and quickly be like, oh, I'm so sorry, I need like 10 more minutes. As opposed to, I'm so sorry to make you step out of your routine.
I've rarely even picked someone up. That's that seems like an old school thing to me. Like,
it matters how far away
I
feel. I
usually meet someone there.
It matters where they live. If they live close by to you. And then you both offer.
You pick them up and then you drive.
I think maybe not the first one if that makes you feel a little bit, if you don't know the girl at all.
Right.
But I feel like, yeah, why not, right? No?
I don't know. Maybe it's an LA
thing. If it's like you have to drive an hour and then a half an hour and then an hour back, it might be a bit much and she would be like, what are you doing?
I was scolded for that, remember?
What?
Oh, yeah.
I went on a date with a girl and then I said, for the second date, we should go to this play. And I was like, all right, I'll meet you there. And then she's like, okay. I was like, all right. And then she's like, actually, is this a date or just a friendship meetup? I was like, I guess a date. I don't know. What was the first one? Whatever that one was. She's like, I only asked because of the lack of the offer to pick me up. Like, usually people like decide to pick me up. Like, when you say meet me there, it just seemed like very cold.
I am... I might shut up. I'm going to shut up. Jake, you say something.
Sure. So Ben is dating somebody.
No.
I think that, I don't know, everybody overthinks everything.
So you think the lady was overreacting to me?
Yeah,
but like,
definitely,
here, this is
sure.
What this is what the point I was trying to make. I'm trying to think of a sophisticated way to say it because I understand both points of view, but there's this old idea of being a man. So you open all the doors, you
courting.
Open the front
the
door.
Traditional
courting,
romantic.
Correct. By the way, yes. But it's true that almost the phrase courting makes more sense to me, where it's like, by the way, I will always open the door first and stuff like that. But like, when let's say I'm dropping her off, sometimes I won't have the mindset to park my car, get out of my side, go to her side, open up her door. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Some do you do that? Yeah,
well, that's like old school chivalry. I don't think I do like a lot of old school chivalry. I feel like what I would do is...
This is what I was going to say.
Okay, go ahead.
I think you'll be surprised at how often you have done it because it's maybe your instinct to do so any girl that you've dated.
Do you stand up when your date leaves the table?
By the way, when I say hello to people for the first time, I make sure my ass is not in the seat.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, definitely.
But that's a thing too, like standing up.
A lot of manners, actually.
I've never seen Mad Men.
Oh, really? That's when I started changing it. Here's what I would do.
Wait, I heard Mad Men was like he cheats on a woman and beats somebody, or
yeah, but he's so chivalrous.
Not that part of manners.
He's so chivalrous.
But when he's cheating, great manners with who he's cheating on.
Yeah, he'll like put his sweater down on a puddle so that his mistress
and then fuck someone who's not his wife on.
Yeah.
Raceway Park.
I feel like what you do is, oh, Ben tickled me. I think this is what you do. You just are really, really nice. Like, I would open the door for a guy or a girl. And I would open, and I wouldn't necessarily jump out of my seat, run around, and open a car door for a lady. But I would open my door, get out, and hug her in front of the car. So that's why I'm saying, like, when you text here, at the very least, you're waiting on the hood of your car like James Dean when she comes outside.
See, that's not a bad idea.
Smoking a cigarette, flipping a coin, and having a leather jacket over
your shoulder. I think it's almost not as taught to us as it was to the generations before us. It's not as prevalent, so it is something we have to search out almost to find.
Yeah, there's manners schools, basically, that teach you like, oh.
But would you ever in a million years go to something called manners school?
No,
these are three genuinely nice human beings in the room.
This is like you just be a little more conscientious. Can we edit this together so I nailed conscientious? Just the first try
much
you have to be a little considerate but not like treating anybody like they're helpless.
Ooh, great point. I by the way will always go out of my way to make sure that I'm trying to be nice. And one of my favorite things in this city, maybe I said this on the podcast before, I think I've done this podcast four times.
Yeah,
third time, right?
No, once here alone
with Amir.
Right?
Once you're alone, just you.
We never aired that episode.
Oh, God, it was so good. It was just me singing Weird Al songs.
You didn't record it, though.
There's
the problem.
This thing. I forgot to press the record button, and I didn't have any mics, and I was naked. This is the thing that I thought was so funny when I came here at the beginning. People would be like, because I was an intern a bunch of times at a page or never, and then started, you know, as we all start to do more and more work, they're like, I'm always so kind to waiter. You know, I sold sneakers for a while, so kind of waiters and anybody, right? Anybody, because that's what human beings do. But people around here would be like, for like the mailroom person at some agency or some company, they'd be like, you should be nice. You should be nice to him or her because that person may one day become president of Warner Brothers.
Right.
And I'm like, you should just be nice to them because you're a human being. I always hated when people said that. You go, you should be nice to that person because... It's like that you're thinking about it so wrong. Because
you might get cash.
Literally.
He might pay you money in 30 years.
One day he'll owe you a favor then.
I hated that way. And people still say it all the time. You never know that person. You know, don't shit on that person because that person blah, blah, blah.
So why are you nice? Like we were talking earlier today. Somebody asked us a question about you and we said that you're nicer to our crew than we are.
Oh,
you should be less nice because you're just like a guest star.
This is where the crew when we film.
Yeah, when we shoot Jake and Amir videos, you will.
Oh, that's true. Anytime we shoot a Jake and Amir, I say hello to every single person.
Yeah,
and then you guys, and then Amir goes, "Oh, I guess we're gonna have to do it," literally out loud, and tries to make a joke of it, and then feels bad for a second, and then Jake hates it.
What are you talking about?
Hates it. I think
Jake's in his trailer for this entire time.
I think it's because, first of all, I feel so lucky to be doing what I'm doing. You have done so many of those shorts that maybe feels, although it's kind of, I've done many other things, but you've done maybe 700, you said? Maybe you've done so much that it just feels like it's such a rhythm and routine you don't do it as much. But for me, it's like I've spent so much time with crews, you know, for different things, and I see how much harder they work than all of us. So I'm always so appreciative. And my assumption is if they're doing it for a web series, the money is probably pretty low and, you know, to make their experience a little bit better by not being assholes.
Well, that's what you tell them. They're like, how much do you get? You were like, how much do you get paid? Is it better that I'm being nice to you right now? I feel so bad.
No, you'll
put your hand on a sound guy's shoulder and be like, I'm so sorry. Like, is this, yeah, but is this worth
you
it
log into your bank account.
Yeah.
I want to see how much money you have. Jake is trying to get a new credit card. I also think... they're like us in the fact that the three of us are still doing comedy because we're huge nerds about it. Huge nerds about it. Those guys, if you're doing web series just like we did, you're probably so in love with it. They probably love doing sound or running boom or you know, or like when you find a cool DP for the first time off of a web like them doing like a short film somewhere, you're like, oh my God, I just saw this guy do something awesome. And I'll even say sometimes, I'll recommend that person to other people sometimes. Or
oh, that's good.
Yeah, because some people would be like, oh, we're looking for a DP, blah, blah, blah. I was like, I did this short film with this person. He crushed it. Like,
you're very thoughtful. We sent you a cut of the video that we just did where you play all 15 of your characters.
Oh, yeah.
And we've definitely sent lots of people and we've like received lots of cuts. And you're... The first thing you wrote back was to thank the editor.
Yeah, like
well,
send
that
this to
was,
the editor.
By the way, that short film was... But first of all, it's usually Amir who edits every single one instead of this one for me that I've ever done, right?
Mostly Amir and Jake, yeah.
Amir and Jake, sorry. But
it's mostly Amir.
It's probably mostly Amir, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Amir is very nice. But that one, if you guys saw what we did for the finale, we did this two-part thing, and I played 14 characters.
Probably more.
14
yourself too.
It was like right. I think it was like 50. I think there were 14 or 15 bands, but you also did like 50 or 60 costume changes.
That was the we did not plan it. But also we talked with the DP and everybody beforehand. They're like, I was like, this might be the right way to shoot it. And we all decided the right way to shoot it, so we can improvise and stuff like that. But they came so prepared and they were so awesome. Everybody that worked on it, but the editors had to take 15 versions of me and put them into one. It was something that I didn't even think was possible.
Yeah. It was Phil Fox.
Who? Phil Fox.
Yeah.
Yes.
And like you saw this.
I sent an email.
A normal editing thing has like what? There are 8 tracks or something?
The normal what?
A normal editing timeline.
So as you can tell, Amir does all the editing.
The timeline would have like, I think between, I mean, our usual videos have 4.
Like 4 layers.
4 layers.
2 video, 2 audio.
Right. And then... You know, a more complicated one might have like 5 to 8.
Sure.
This one had like 30.
Right, because it had to have like all of Ben's layers on top of each other. Because
that's video and sound for each one of the characters.
Yeah,
right.
And there were 6 of them in one shot
at one point.
And then
we were making tiny little tweaks to this thing. We're like, oh, Ben, like, can we have Ben come in here, cut to this reaction here?
Right.
And it wasn't like you could just add in a little... He had to move every single layer, like one little thing.
Yeah.
One domino knocked over the entire set, and then he would reconstruct it.
It's crazy how good that editor was. It was something that I've never seen before. Like in movies, I'll
it happens, but for this, where it's like one person,
yeah,
it's insane. It was amazing. Well, Phil Fox.
It helped that you guys never like touched each other. That's when it gets hard.
Well, that's all due to the DP and the camera guys,
right?
Because the three of those people, set up the whole thing, had the whole vision of it beforehand.
You regretted that day so much when we were doing it.
Well, I remember I pitched the idea. I was like, we got to, when Jake and I told me they're wrapping it up, they're like, would you do two more? I was like, 100%. I was like, wouldn't it be funny if all those people were actually their own people and it wasn't faking it and they were all in the same room at the same time?
And we're like, yeah, let's do it. And you're like, yeah. And then you showed up to set that day.
And we wrote it, yeah. And then we showed up to set that day. And by the way, it was fine. It's just that I didn't think through that I'd have to do a big costume, pants, shirt, everything, costume change for every character. And then it was different sizes in different places. So I had to do it three different times. Right. I mean, that was one of the worst costume change days ever for me. That was so annoying.
I remember like finishing lunch and I go upstairs and you're like in the milkman costume from the waist up, in the usher costume from the waist down. Oh my God.
And probably asleep. Yeah. I was so tired.
You could tell when you're the mountain hiker. That was one of your last costume changes. You're just like exhausted.
It was tough. That was and also the funniest part is the whole time Jake is deathly ill. Deathly ill.
I was fine.
No, you were not. He was on the couch.
Quick to just like diagnose people who were sick.
You had bronchitis.
I said, "Hey, man," and you were like, "Oh, you're sick. What? Get away from me."
What did you? Did you not? Were you not
I was
sick?
Really sick.
You were sick for the next month or something.
Yeah, I know. I had been sick that entire month. I was on like the last 4 days of this.
No, but then you kept even getting sicker.
I think I was sick for another week or so.
Yeah. But then Jake was lying down on a couch doing his lines off camera. So Jake and Amir never were on camera when they were filming me, except for when I was playing myself. So for the first 7 hours of the day, they're both lying on couches and just Jake relaxing. Would miss his line. So like I would like be talking to Jake and I'd be as like 100 characters at the same time.
Oh, I meant you're Amir's dating coach, but I just couldn't get that
Jake
line out.
Couldn't say the one line. I'm like, Jake, you just have one. And he'd laugh hilariously and then cough at all of us.
525,600 minutes. We're done.
That'd be so funny.
When we do in between part one and part two, I'll go change. I'll deck the wash up.
Smart. Actually, let's take a break right now, and we'll thank some more sponsors, and then we'll be right back with Ben Schwartz.
You sure? I want to keep talking.
Yeah, I know.
We'll have to pee, so let's do that.
Okay.
You just peed.
I drank a lot of water.
Can I say this online? Jake has a strong piss flow.
Really?
Oh, it sounded so strong.
That means a lot to me.
I was down the hall, and it was like it made me rumble. It echoed so much, it made me rumble.
Well, I filled up your bathtub, and I peed in it. So it was deep water that it was hitting.
I thought you said you filled it up with your pee-pee.
That's what I thought, too. That's all right. It's all right that Amir just helped you out.
Yep.
Okay, so we'll talk to you guys after this commercial from Monster.com.
Thank you to Rocket Money for sponsoring this episode of our program.
Hell yeah.
It's pretty simple. It's a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, and then it monitors your spending and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings.
It's perfect. It's for all those subscriptions that you tried and then forgot about, but you're actually paying for, and you don't even realize it, folks.
I had, no joke, over $1 million a month worth of subscriptions that I did not need.
That's amazing.
That's amazing.
That's so much cash.
I was buying 35 new houses a freaking month on this subscription box that I accidentally subscribed to when I was high.
Bark box. Yeah, bark box.
Yeah, it came with the condos, dozens of them a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what? Let me do a quick little audit. Rocket Money came in and they're like, by the way, you're spending $1.5 million a month. We could probably just cancel this one.
Yeah. Like, damn,
and
I could use that.
I did.
Incredible.
Yes.
Congrats.
And you should use that. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved them a total of $500 million. That's almost entirely me. $500 million in canceled subscriptions.
Yeah.
Most of it yours. Saving the average member only $740 a year, which is not as much as the $1.5 million a month that I saved, but still a lot of money to some people.
For sure.
So if you're looking to save some cash, which who isn't, you can stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
There's something in your bank account that doesn't need to be there. Rocketmoney.com/segments will find it and eliminate it.
Whoa. Nice.
Again, that's rocketmoney.com/segments.
Segments.
Take control of your finances today.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Rocket Money. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Indeed. Indeed.
Simply put, it's the easiest way to create a professional-looking website.
Couldn't agree more, bud.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's the tweet. No, they do have a lot more than that. It's they have 24/7 award-winning customer support. They have very simple drag and drop technology. You can code, you can design a professional looking website without knowing much about how the internet works.
You can sell. You can launch and sell product from Squarespace. Yes. That's right.
You can even purchase a domain name through Squarespace. For example, Jake, what can people purchase?
Boneheader.com. Boneheader. It's like,
interesting. That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if you're a boneheaded person, but you're doing a boneheader of a move. You know what I mean?
What about fitnessnah.com? So it's sort of like a relaxation technique slash way to say damn the man with regards to fitness.
It's a movement about not going to the gym. Fitness,
it's it's an anti-movement, really. Oh, it's a non-movement movement.
Is anti-movement one? Anti-movement seems like it should be.
I'll have to check it out later. Actually, let me look right now. Anti-movement.com is not available. Don't buy that one.
Okay. Yeah, I wouldn't. But so it's fitness, more of a fitnessnah.com. Yeah, it's more of a fitness nah thing.
Yeah. Squarespace AI also is a great way to kickstart or update written content on any website. They can generate instant personalized results that know and show your brand identity. Pretty cool there too.
Incredible.
So the way to get in on this action and launch your own website soon enough is to go to squarespace.com/segments.
Segments.
And when you're ready to launch, you use that coupon code segments at checkout to save 10% off their already low prices.
Beautiful.
Again, check out squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/segments to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Thanks, folks.
Thanks, Squarespace.
And we're back.
And we're back.
What was the personal shit? Back. The personal shit you were telling us over the break? Start from the top.
Sure. So I feel like everything in my life is going all right. But can I talk about some things?
Yeah, yeah.
I got a question for Jake.
Sure.
Oh, Jake didn't shut off his phone. Amir, Jake didn't shut off his phone. He's getting a phone call.
No, he's not.
Yeah, but you're going to be pretty happy when I tell you who it is.
Who is it?
It's a 212 number.
Pick it up.
Holy shit.
Should I get it?
This might be TBS. Pick it up.
No.
Pick it up.
It's not.
I'll pick it up. Get it.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, no, you ended the call.
No, I didn't. Missed call means I didn't get it in time. Do you have the balls to play that voicemail live on the air, no matter what it is?
Yeah, because we can always
edit it out.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, wait 2 seconds for that.
Although you've been getting calls all day from Rhode Island numbers, unknown numbers.
Why?
Yeah. I don't know. Debt collectors?
Oh, shit. It could be a debt collector.
Is that your truck?
No, it's definitely not. Ooh, I do have a voicemail.
Here we go. Play it on there. Put it on speakerphone.
Ready? All right, here we go.
I think this is illegal.
Hey, Jake, it's Angie. I have Josh and Brian for you. Two and two.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Who's that? Who are those people?
It's our agent.
Why don't you call him back just in case something good?
It's not something good.
If it was good news, we'd have the whole team on the phone.
Yeah,
that's true. Oh my God, that's true. The funniest thing is I'll get real close to getting a role, real close to getting like a major role, right, in something. I don't know why I said major. Probably not. Good role.
I was going to be in the all-female Ghostbusters.
Oh God, all I want to do is be in that movie. And then be really close and I'll be getting calls about it and emails about it. And then you know you got the role when you get a phone call from someone's assistant that's like, hey, we have this person on the phone for you. And I go, yes. And then
it's like getting the thick envelope from college.
Yeah. That's exactly right. But then you know you didn't get it when you get an email that says, sorry, buddy.
You know you didn't get it when they email you and say, no, you didn't get it.
Literally, no phone call. Well, you can go through this whole process and all you get is like, oh, they went a different way.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, what a bummer. Or, you don't even call me?
And the sad part is like when you have to call them, then it's like, I might as well not call. Like they don't have good news, right. But I haven't heard anything.
I heard anything. Oh, sorry, I was gonna email you. You have the role.
That's never happened.
I also hate when people email me, call me when you get a chance. I was like, what? Then just call me now. You just spent time. Well, I don't understand what's going on. I hate when people do that. Hey, call me when you get a second.
Yeah.
I was like, what? You could have just stepped.
What about a text that says that? I've gotten texts that say, call me.
It's so weird. Cause
well, it matters if I'm texting with them already.
Might as well just call someone and then they know.
Ben is leaving. This is insane. Holy shit.
You said Ben's leaving, and then he said, no, I'm just getting something over there.
That's the definition of leaving.
It was going somewhere else.
To get something over there.
All right. Can I ask Ben a question?
Sure. It's contagious. Oh, we're going to Australia. Let's mention that while Ben's away.
He's carving a watermelon.
Oh, my God. It's incredible. He's making a jack-o'-lantern. June 9th.
Happy Halloween!
June 9th through the 15th. We're going to be in Australia. Go to ifireyoushow.com for tickets and details.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're doing live podcasts in Australia.
What? Where?
Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Brisbane, Perth.
Brisbane.
I say Brisbane.
Melbourne, Brisbane, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Brisbane is where Josh Lawson is from. We're from House of Lies.
Oh, shit. Have you ever been to Australia?
No, I can't wait to go. All I want to do
is
go.
You should come with us in June.
Are you guys, but would I lose money on all those flights?
No, we'll pay you.
I can't imagine you'd pay me.
We'll pay for your flight.
I will.
When are you guys going?
June 8th or 9th.
Man, I do want to go to Australia. Wasn't that a different trip I almost saw? I was in London working like a week before.
Yeah.
God, your rhythm is terrible.
Yeah, I know.
How are you a guitarist?
I'm not.
I'm going to sing for real, and I want you to commit to this.
Okay.
Do not try to mess up.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Do you want me to keep rhythm?
Yes, that's all I want you to do.
Okay.
Okay, put your mic down so people can hear it. Tilt it down towards your lap. Okay, so now you won't be able to hear Jake's thing. No.
I'm just getting practice.
Right, already, I'm getting practice. This is like the worst version of Whiplash.
Were you rushing or dragging? Both, I think.
Not quite my tempo.
I know that, sir.
What song should we do? How about this? This will be... there are chicks just right for the picking. Oh, wow.
Holy
you really
shit.
Can't do it. Do it. Commit for real. Do it. Commit.
I'm trying.
Yeah, do it for real. Not like a dum-dum. All right. Ready?
Wait, do a little faster song. I feel like that was a little
okay,
slow.
Okay. What's up, a fast? Give me a name of a fast one.
That's a professional.
Great. Okay. Oh, when the saints go marching in. Oh, when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. You're a little bit off. You're very close. When the saints go marching in. Amir, do you have rhythm?
I think so, but I've never done the test before.
Let's do the test.
All right. I do it after one. Got it.
Ready? What song do we do for him?
Something Weezer.
No, okay. That's not fair.
Why?
The world has turned and left me here. I'll do my voice before you appear. That's right. And in my... He did it right. Yep.
It sounds wrong to me. That means I have no rhythm.
Do you believe what I'm saying now? Do you believe what I'm saying now?
How do you get rhythm?
Someone asked me that before.
Can I learn it?
But you could copy someone, so just snap on beat.
No, but I want to like be able to feel it in my body.
Snap on beat.
Okay.
Do it with Amir. Great. Now Amir, stop.
Yeah. A little fast.
A little fast, but that's good.
Give me a meatball.
Give me a beef bowl and eat bok choy. I want to get lost in your something soy and drift away.
Eat all day.
All right. Give me a deed in a Dover soul.
Yeah, I don't drum, but isn't it about like hitting like you do this every two and then
what
this every
this
four?
What is this podcast? This is the weirdest thing.
This is such this a, is like nobody's going to care about
it. We're
any
not
of
even
this.
Talking about like, I feel like at the very least we should be interviewing Ben. We're not answering questions. We're not talking about. We're talking.
We're not
about
even making
drumming.
Jokes. We're not even being funny.
we're just talking about rhythm and how you get it.
This is the weirdest.
Well, how about this? Is a question that might help for the podcast. I've been asked this question more than once for interviews, and let's see how you guys answer it. This is the question they present: are you born funny? Is funny something that you can learn how to do?
Oh, it's an interesting. It's sort of like at least we're taking the rhythm question and applying it to our craft.
Correct.
Yeah.
But that's a real question I was asked in interviews. And the first time I was asked, I was like, wow, that's a great question.
Isn't it both?
That the answer, I don't know if there's an exact answer. What do you think?
I think the answer is our daily double. It's probably both. Just like everything is inherent. You can be smart, but then also like you have to gain knowledge.
But can you be funny? Can you learn to be? If you find someone who's not funny, can you learn to be funny?
I think you can definitely be successful and not really be funny, but understand the craft.
Yeah.
I think there are like people that aren't necessarily that funny that can write a really funny scene in a movie. Like, understand what jokes will work.
That's interesting. Like that. Finding the rhythm and the cadence of how it works, the structure of whatever.
Right. I know plenty of people like that who I don't necessarily find funny, but I know that they are good writers.
How also, are you going to make this into two parts?
I mean, we're already at the 45-minute mark. Also, the what was I going to say? You can, there's different comedies, like how funny you are is subjective. So somebody can be funny to some person and unfunny to another person. So it's, how do you even say, like, are you like, can you be friendly, or are you born friendly? I don't know. Some people think I'm friendly and some people don't.
That's interesting. I think that you can learn to be friendly, right?
Yeah.
You can learn manners. You can learn to be friendly.
And then the same way with funny. If you watch a lot of funny things.
I wonder though, it's just like I knew growing up, I would never be a professional basketball player.
Right.
Like, no matter how hard I trained, I can't. Unless maybe I dedicate my life to, I would never be
but
professional.
But you could be a very good basketball player. Right.
Right. I could be an okay basketball player.
You could, like,
break
into the basketball industry if you needed to.
But I couldn't,
really
like, I could never have gone to a Division I college. You know what I mean?
Right.
Maybe if I really, all day, every day, all I did was play basketball, maybe I could have been the last guy on a D3 team. If all I did was dedicate myself to training right. and basketball.
That's you right. getting better. That's like, so that's, you getting but funnier. That's,
yeah,
that's
I would have it, to get so much better.
That's
yeah,
why
yeah.
it's both, because you need the innate talent and then also the drive. And for basketball, you probably need like,
well,
a
I think with this industry,
physical advantage too.
Yeah, that's true. Although there's some tiny guys. I remember how Muggsy Bogues was like a hero to everybody in my school just because he was so, Spud Webb was like, oh my God. There is, my memory's been terrible lately. What were you talking about?
Learning how to be funny, learning how to be a basketball player, subjectivity of comedy. Are you funny?
Oh, I think the three of us work very, very hard. Right,
I don't work that hard.
Yeah, you do. In the end, the amount of time you put into comedy,
the amount of time Amir makes me put into comedy,
I'm a task.
But do you think you've gotten better?
Master.
Well, the other thing is that it's easy for us to practice comedy all the time. Even if we're not working, we're still around people that we want to make
right.
laugh.
We're doing bits all the time.
So it's harder to practice basketball all the time. That's why we couldn't just play basketball all day every day.
But that's really interesting. The idea that us hanging out and doing bits, whenever the three of us hang out, we usually do bits and are stupid.
Right.
You know, we can be real and talk about real things and help each other out as well. But when we're, I would say, par for the course or what we usually are, we're out to dinner talking about real things. And the second something stupid happens, all of us jump on right. it and go nuts.
We like to make each other laugh.
So. Correct. That brings us joy.
Right. But don't you feel drained at the end of the day like you would at the end of a basketball game, like when hanging out and doing like funny, like at the end of the shoot day when we were shooting, like
that's
you were just
I'm
like empty.
Oh my God, I had nothing left.
Yeah.
And also there's a scene I had to do, this short film called I'm a Mitzvah, which is online, and there's a scene where I had to cry in it. And so we did the take like six times, and I was like really crying, really, really crying in it. And I remember being like so tired afterwards. I don't even remember what the next scene after was, but I was like, I need to just like
right.
chill for a bit.
Like that took all your, that was
it
the equivalent
took,
of sprinting.
It drained me.
It was
yes.
like a comedy sprint.
All my emotion. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But after UCB shows, if I do a two-person show, I feel so tired at the end because you're juggling everything. If it's yeah. me, Middleditch. And both of us afterwards, like, whoo.
You have to be like sharp for like 60 seconds straight it's, or 60 minutes
yes,
straight.
Yes, 60 minutes straight. And you have to initiate every scene. And there's nobody that's going to walk in and save you. And many times we play five characters at the same time. So it's like, ugh.
So what's the warm up for that? Like, what's the equivalent Christ. Of like layup lines for a comedy show like that? Like, do you try
before?
To be unfunny the whole day just to save your comedy energy? Or do you like to be like
that's
around people
so
and joking?
Funny.
And also, like, how do you.
No, we don't do any of that. We don't even think
do
about it.
You just
it.
Meet each other at the theater? You're like, all right, let's go out.
We,
like, I would feel like you need to just be with him for the afternoon to get in tune and get in sync.
Well, Amir did a Snow Pants a long time ago.
Yeah, but that was different. That wasn't just me and you. I was like along for the
when
ride.
When it's just Middleditch, we'll also know that Middleditch and I have been doing improv for a very, very long time. I think Thomas might have been doing it longer than I have. We've been doing it for a very long time.
At least 10 years.
Yes, at least. I'm at 11 or 12, and he's probably at 13, 15, maybe 12, 13. And then we meet, and I guess I've never really talked about what we do beforehand. We meet 5 minutes before in the green room.
5 minutes.
We talk. We
are just, you joking, or are you just like, hey, how's it going? Oh, great, cool, already?
Yeah, we don't.
What are you up to? You're both on your phones. Like,
well, sometimes
bit.
There's someone else in the green room, and we'll do bits just with them. But we'll usually just talk. We'll just chill. Like, but there's no warm-up. I remember when I was on a Harold team, it was
and
such
a
big deal.
The energy is subdued back there a little bit, because there's usually a show going on, so you can't be like.
You've done ASCAP monologues.
I did an ASCAP monologue mm-hmm. once, yeah.
It's very subdued and very, chill.
Right, so you're not like backstage getting hyped up. Like, yeah. Music jumping
and I don't drink any. Some people drink a beer. Some people have like something for caffeine. I don't do anything. Wow. I just fucking just go.
You're natural.
Well, I think it's just because this is something that I did. Oh, this is something I did a long time ago. Always, whenever I didn't want to, like a Pavlovian response, need myself to have a beer before doing a show.
All right.
I didn't want to feel like fuck. I'm not gonna be funny unless I have a beer. I'm not gonna be funny unless I have blah blah blah.
Right.
And also something I do in life, like let's say you go through a breakup, or let's say you don't get a role and you get really depressed. I never go out drinking afterwards, ever. And a lot of my friends, when something bad happens, they go out and get hammered.
They right. self-medicate a little.
And I'm like, you know what? I can't train myself to do that. That's such a bad way
what
to...
What about a drink to celebrate?
When I get something good, I'll have a drink to celebrate sometimes, but I'll eat a cheeseburger. That's what I do.
Oh, eat a nice little reward.
Like a terrible for me In-N-Out cheeseburger, or like there are many cheeseburger spots I love. But I'll have a beverage. Like if it's a birthday, like I'll have a beverage. But I'm not a guy. You guys know me. I don't really get drunk.
Right.
I'll have a beverage or two, but I won't go crazy.
Yeah.
But I'll go celebrate. But I try my best. I try my best never to get drunk after something bad happens. So I'll have a beer if people are going out to have beers, but I won't get drunk ever.
Jake gets drunk every night, and lot of times the something bad does happen.
How do you deal with
something?
If something bad
drunk.
Happens to you? If you broke up with a girl, or what do you do?
Well, I think I would get. It's not like I would get shit faced drunk because I was sad. If I went through a breakup, or if I was celebrating, or if it was just like a Tuesday, I would be like, I'm gonna have a couple drinks and I'm gonna try to fuck.
Tell
somebody.
Me how much is a couple drinks.
If I'm going out, then I'm gonna have like. Three whiskeys and some shots. And like,
are you serious?
Probably
how much
black
this is a
out
bit?
And try to fuck somebody.
No, that's not true.
No, always, for sure. Definitely.
No, you don't have that much every night.
That's not.
I'm not saying every night. I'm saying like on a weekend.
Oh, when you're going out strong. That's your maximum.
That's not a lot. It's
that's your Maxim magazine?
Yeah, it's my Maxim.
What's your
my
stuff?
You do this nah! Stuff.
You
I want
you
the NBA inside
thing?
Stuff.
It's a whiskey before we leave. A whiskey at the place and then another one there. And then probably more.
Look at your counting. There's one at home, one at the bar.
You start to realize you have a terrible problem.
And then more. So just say
there's
a lot.
In college,
yeah,
I don't know.
I overdo it. You drink a lot too, then, on the weekends.
Do you? You don't get hammered.
He does get hammered.
I don't get hammered.
Don't
I get
know.
Drunk. Yeah. But I don't black out. I've never blacked out.
I see you get drunk. You don't go crazy.
Yeah.
I've never blacked out. Okay, this college is a little bit different. When I was in college, we drank. That's what it was. Like, it was my first time away from home. I was like, we drank, went crazy. I remember there's a great moment when I was very close to all my friends. If anybody goes to Union College or went to Union College, I lived at the Fox basement dorms.
Yeah, go Sparks!
Schenectady, shout out! It is, 12308, baby. Go Dutchman. And so... We used to love to pregame. It was so fun. And so the showers were, you know, you were there were little walls in between each shower, but you could put your stuff on top of the walls, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So what we used to do is everybody had a different type of alcohol. Uh-huh. And while we were taking showers, your hand would poke up and you would have like a shot of Black House or you'd have a shot of whiskey or you'd have a shot of whatever. So while we were getting ready to go out and pregame, we were already pregame in the shower, yeah.
Classic.
I mean, college was crazy. Fun. Yeah, but also when I was done, I was like, oh, I don't get as much joy from
it. Well, I think if I was sad, I wouldn't be like, I need to get drunk. I would be like, I need to have some kind of communal experience with my friends.
Is that true? You want to be surrounded by people when you're
drunk. Right, and I think drinking is like a nice social
Why don't you call me when you're sad?
I don't know. I'm sad all the time.
You have 38 missed calls from Jake.
Well, I think I need to...
How do you split this into two? Where do we stop?
We'd have to stop right now.
All
right,
stop it.
I was about to tell you guys about what I do.
All right, guys, see you next episode. Oh, wait, that's a great teaser for next episode.
Wait, so, get the guitar. We can do an outro theme song.
Oh, right.
Jake, can you play?
So Ben will be back next week, I think on Monday, for part two of this episode. If you have any questions of your own that we'll probably get to when Ben's not on the show,
they have to tune it.
Is ifiwereyoushow@gmail.com. Thanks again to Alex Sexton for writing the theme song to begin this episode. And thanks to Jake and Ben for writing the outro song. And here it is.
Jakey, here we go. You want me to hold the microphone close to you?
Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Are you going to sing too?
Maybe.
You start it off and I'll finish it.
All right, well, if I'm going to start off, I have to find something else.
Why?
Because I can't sing to complicated things. That was too fast.
Maybe that's the theme.
I can't sing to complicated things.
Thank you, Ben.
let's all go to your room. Can I borrow some shorts? Thank you, Amir. Amir Blumfeld. Can I borrow a torch? I've got some stuff I want to weld.
Ooh.
Thank you to me. My name is Jake Hurwitz. Don't let me meet your mom because I'll lick her tits.
Jake and Amir, everybody!
I'll do the theme for the next one. We'll do the same song.
All right, we'll be back.
That was amazing. That was great.
Hey, y'all. Jordan Harbinger from The Art of Charm here. The Art of Charm is packed with wisdom in the truest sense of the word, from how to become more productive and professional to how to meet and attract women and manage relationships. We talk about how to create confidence, how to get people to like and trust you, productivity, time management, biohacking, and more. This is a show that offers meaningful, fun, life-changing insights with a practical edge so listeners can apply something right out of the box every show, every day. So come hang with us here on the Art of Charm podcast and start crushing it today.